And now to the media's role in this election. Lots of newsroom hand-wringing about being shocked at a Donald Trump win, a marker of just how bad a job we did, says Joshua Benton at the Nieman Journalism Lab. NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik has some thoughts. Hi, David.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. And we're going to post your column, Trump Won, the Media Lost, What's Next, at hearnow.org. But start with media lost. Look, some of us did say it was a distinct possibility, but we are not pundits. You say the media pundits swung and missed. Tell us more.
Oh, my gosh. They swung and it's like they swung three times and missed on this one. If you look at the pollsters, there were so many states that were considered in the bank for Hillary Clinton going in that she lost on election night. If you look at places like The Upshot, they gave her the day before the election about an 85% chance Hillary Clinton of winning and said it was about equivalent to missing a 37-yard field goal for a good NFL kicker. It happens, but doesn't happen much. Well, that kicker sure shanked wide. This was, when I talk to media executives, as I have, when I talk to anchors and reporters in the field, they are shocked. I mean, they are genuinely shocked. You can't fake the degree to which they are surprised by what happened. The polls told them one thing and they conditioned reporting very much, framing their reports to us, the audience, as a result of what they believed the polls were showing.
Well, look, there's criticism of the polls. And as we mentioned earlier in the program, there's always the Cubs. You know, they also had the same stats as Donald Trump did. But putting the polls aside, or actually putting the polls front and center, are reporters not getting out enough to talk to people themselves to see that there are a few signs? Are they depending too much on the polls?
You know, I think that there is a lot of reporting that is used to build on polls to say, well, let's get at the texture of that. And then they interview people to fill in the slots that the polls have told them exist, right? And so I think that there's sort of almost a preconditioning of this is how things actually are, and therefore our reporting will illustrate that. I don't think it's fair to say that reporters didn't go, as I think some critics have said, to Rust Belt parts of the country, to places where particularly disaffected whites who have been hit hard by not only the economy, economies tanking almost a decade ago, but really the question of shifts in how the economy works, the mechanization of so much manufacturing and other trends, and that we didn't talk to those people in the press. I think we did. I think you heard them in NPR. I think you saw them in the pages, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times. You saw them on CNN. And yet, you know, those weren't the only people who turned out for Donald Trump.
Right.
And a lot of it also was the question of who did it and did not turn out for Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump got a stronger support among white women than I think a lot of pollsters expected. Donald Trump consistently, you know, showed more support among the affluent than the coverage I think would indicate. So while there are voices that supported Trump or believed in his what he had to say, I think there are ways in which they didn't capture that. I also wanted to just offer one thought, which I thought was really interesting in telling. There's this conservative political columnist who used to work for a Pittsburgh newspaper. Her name is Selena Zito. She's been going all over in her car talking to voters. And she concluded in a piece she wrote in September, the press takes Trump literally but not seriously. His supporters take him seriously but not literally. That is, we focused on the outrageous implications of a lot of what he said in the press because they are severe and significant. But his reporters say, we think that he won't build a wall necessarily or toss out 11 million people here in this country without legal status. But we think he'll do more about that issue. That was not something really reflected in the press. They took literally what he had to say.
Well, what else do you think is at play here? Because it reminds me of when Scott Brown took Ted Kennedy's Senate seat here in Boston. If you were listening to right-wing radio at the time, you knew that he was going to win. But if you were in your own media bubble, you didn't. And I'm thinking that it's kind of ironic because conservative writers, Russ Douthat, was shouting, you know, criticism of Donald Trump. You had Charlie Sykes and Glenn Beck on the radio. But you may not have heard that if you were in your own media bubble.
Well, think of what you just said. You said if you listen to conservative radio, right of center radio, you would have known that Scott Brown would
pluck
off
Teddy
Kennedy's spot.
All the time.
Because
right.
He was on it all the time. And you wouldn't have heard it if you were in your media bubble. The funny thing is the media thinks of itself as a place that bursts the bubble, of a place that, you know, without fear or favor goes and finds out what the facts are and find out what the latter truth of and presents that to the broader public. And many, particularly on the right, but increasingly on the left, see the press as in its own bubble. And the way it occurs is that they look at the press and they say, you know what, you're part of this great establishment party that's been going on that we're not a part of. You guys are all chattering in studios for cable TV and having a great time yelling at each other, and we know you're slapping each other's backs after the fact. And all of you believe in the idea ultimately that, you know what, if Hillary Clinton, you know, maybe she's getting hundreds of thousands of dollars to go speak to Wall Street firms, but ultimately she's representing kind of a bit more of the common man. maybe. And actually, that's not how a lot of voters responded to that.
Yeah.
That they took that as a more serious issue than people who live perhaps in New York as I do or Washington otherwise do.
Dave, you just got a minute here, but candidate Trump talked about loosening libel laws to make it easier to sue the press. He called out reporters like Katie Turr of NBC at his rallies. She needed escorts for her own safety.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think a President Trump is going to be with the media? Just briefly.
Well, and don't forget, he's threatened to sue the New York Times. He suggested to Fox News in May he might go after Jeff Bezos and Amazon for basically antitrust or concentration of power because Bezos personally owns the Washington Post. Both newspapers had reported critically about Trump, and he didn't like it at all. I think we're going to have to wait and see. You know, he does love press attention. He seems to wither without it. And we're going to have to see if the press can rely on his ego and in some ways insincerity in some of the rhetoric he's adopted against the press in the past.
NPR media correspondent David Folkenglick just starting this conversation about the press and Donald Trump. David, thank you.
You bet.